Welcome to 721 Live. I'm Sam Hunter. I'm glad that you're with us today. It's Friday. We're going to continue to talk about living with the power of the Holy Spirit. This is our third show on that. And last week we talked about demolishing strongholds. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. If you want to go back and pick up those first three shows, our first two shows, you can just go to our website, which is 721ministries.org, 721ministries.org, because 721 Live, this radio show, is the radio arm of 721 Ministries. Check out our website, 721ministries.org. You can pick up our past radio shows or other things about the ministry, or go to our sister website, puttinggreenblog.com, puttinggreenblog.com, and we write devotionals on the weekly devotionals, which oftentimes mirror the radio shows, but with a different twist. We've got our book on that. It's a Putting Green devotional book. I think you would enjoy it. So go to either one of those, 721ministries.org or puttinggreenblog.com. We're going to continue to talk about living with the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm undaunted on this because we need to keep reminding ourselves that this is available. If we surrendered our life to Christ, the Holy Spirit indwells us, lives inside of us, and the promise is this incredible power. And so last week we talked about how we have the power to demolish strongholds. We'll speak to that a little more in just a minute, but I want to start today thinking about this momentum, because the Holy Spirit power is a little bit like momentum. Now, I was watching college football over the weekend, and I love to watch college football, and I just marvel at the power that momentum generates in a game. I mean, it's in all sports, isn't it? I mean, I see it in football, basketball, baseball, tennis. So it doesn't have to be a team sport. It can be an individual sport. But let's just take a team, for instance. You know, you're watching them. They're out there. They're playing kind of lethargically. There's no real energy, very little enthusiasm. You know, they just seem to be flat. And then something happens. Maybe if it's in football, there's an interception or there's a fumble. Or there's a long touchdown pass. Or maybe if it's basketball, there's a dunk or a three-point shot or a home run in baseball. Even an individual tennis player gets a great ace or a great point, and he wins the point, and all of a sudden the energy level shifts and it explodes. I mean, it's really interesting, isn't it, to see that momentum. I mean, I see it all the time, don't you? I mean, it's uncanny how this momentum thing, I mean, 1 minute, completely different the next minute. 1 minute, they're flat, nothing's happening. All next minute, it's a total shift. And it's unbelievable how this works. Now, suddenly the team, and not just one player, the whole team now is playing with a new strength, a purpose, a new energy, confidence. I mean, they can beat anybody. They can't be stopped. They're suddenly on fire. What happened? I mean, did they call a timeout and go over to the sideline and all drink a five-hour energy drink or some kind of steroid concoction? No, it's not what happened. But something happened. The team is different. And listen now, not just emotionally, or not just psychologically, they are physically different. They're stronger, they're faster, they're quicker, they're jumping higher, and they're seemingly tireless. They can't be stopped. You see, it's not just in their heads. Even though they haven't added any kind of physical element from the outside, a new and a very real physical element is operating on the inside. I mean, you've seen it. I don't know how it happens. But that, which is a non-physical thing, affects their physical play. Now, see, it can be like this when we shift our power to the Holy Spirit power. When we shift it from our power to the Holy Spirit power within us. I mean, we don't ingest a magic potion. We don't change physically. Yet, we really do. I mean, we absolutely do. Our energy, our clarity, our creativity. Our energy, our clarity, our creativity all expand to new levels. It's a new world. It's a new life. Things are different. We feel it. We know it. When the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. I was talking with a gentleman who came to one of our overnight advances that we put on throughout the year, and he told me that on Thursday when he arrived, he thought he was going to heaven. I mean, he's a pretty good Christian, he thought, but he just wasn't sure. And when we finished around lunchtime on Friday, he said he just sat in his truck and he just sobbed. He said, I just can't do it anymore, Lord. You please take over. I'm so tired of fighting this. I'm so tired of trying to do it on my own in my own power. You please take over. And he looked at me when he was telling me the story. He said, and you know, it's real. I am a different person. I feel differently. I've got more energy. I've got more clarity. I've got more creativity. So let me kind of tease each one of those out. Your energy level does go up. You feel more alive. You're more in control. Now, let me be careful to say, not of other people or even of events. You feel more in control of yourself because you now know God is in control of you. And you now know He's in control of other people and other events. So you feel more self-controlled. By the way, that is one of the fruit of the Spirit, self-control. You feel more in control because you know God is in control. You're excited about life. You have a more positive attitude. I mean, you're sort of like God tells us in 1 Corinthians 5, you're joyful always, you're praying continuously, you're giving thanks in all circumstances, energy, clarity, and creativity. You'll have more energy when the Holy Spirit's living inside of you. Let me say that a different way. When you are living with the power of the Holy Spirit, living inside of you. Not when you're just walking around saved. That's why we're talking about this for so many weeks in a row. We're going to continue to talk about it. When you're living with the power, and most of us are not. Clarity. Energy, clarity, creativity. Clarity. You start to see things more clearly. And often the answers to problems become obvious. Even the answers to opportunities become obvious. You get this sense of green lights and red lights that we spoke about in a previous show. God gives you green lights. Yes, this is the way to do that. Yes, go do that. Write that check. Go visit that person. Make that call. Make that sales call. I mean, it's not just, all of life is relationships, so it's all about the way you respond and interact in relationships. Green lights. Yes, do that. Red lights. Nope. Stay away from that. Don't do that. Don't say that. Don't go there. Don't write that check. Not there. Don't do that business deal. You get this clarity. You sense God's will in your life. And because of that, you're more thankful. And your prayers start to turn to just thank you, thank you, thank you. So you have more energy. You have more clarity. And you have more creativity. Now, that one's a little different. But I've seen this over and over. Because you've got more energy and more clarity, you begin to think differently. And you respond differently to situations. I've seen this in my teaching when I'm at the beginning of the week and I don't really know what it is we're going to talk about, or I'm going to sit down and I don't really know. I'm stuck. And I'll just step back and say, Lord, don't let this be about me. Don't let me crank out a lesson, or don't let me crank out a sermon or a radio show or a putting green devotion or a book. Don't let me crank it out. I can do that in my own power. But I don't want to do it in my own power. I want the Holy Spirit to be in charge of this. I want the Holy Spirit. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to write about it. I want to talk about what you want me to talk about. Holy Spirit, help me with this. And all of a sudden, you know, maybe it's 5 minutes later, I'm filling up 3 or 4 notepads with thoughts that He's given me. I mean, I got too much. Now I got to whittle it down because He's pouring it into me. You think more creatively. And, you know, you might even handle your relationships more creatively. Maybe you have teenage children and you're kind of stuck in the same old way of handling these problems. And it's not getting any better. It's not going anywhere. And the Lord gives you this. The Holy Spirit will give you this sense of creativity. No, I'm going to handle this a different way. I'm not going to do it the same old way. I'm not getting any different results. He'll give you different ways to handle relationships. Could be with your children, your spouse, your sisters and brothers, your parents, your people you work with. I've seen it in work. Back when I ran my business, I've been in such business situations where I could say, you know, I just don't know how to fix this. I'm stumped. Or there's no end in sight on this. I don't know what to do. I cannot figure out a position to take or a path to take. And so I start asking the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gives me that kind of creativity. You know, you'll say, Sam, have you thought about it this way? And it's nothing I thought about before. It's real. You can have it. You can have this power. Jesus promised you. No, actually, He guaranteed you could and would have this Holy Spirit power. With his parting words, he plainly stated, Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will. Notice he didn't say you might. He said you will. And if you read the New Testament, goodness gracious, it's just nothing but Holy Spirit and Holy Spirit power. I mean, if you have a concordance, you know, concordance, I hope you're familiar with the term. I'm not sure many of you are. Most of you are. It'll give you words that you can find throughout the New Testament. So if you want to find power, you go to your concordance. Some Bibles have them in the back. Other you can go online. But if I have a book that has all the words in the New Testament, Strong's Concordance, and you go and see power, and then go to the New Testament, and it is unbelievable how often you see Holy Spirit power in the New Testament. You promise this power. It's a new life, a new you. And the question is, are you living with this power? Are you living with this power? Because you can be. But I'm going to answer the question for you. No, you're not. Because I know 99% of the people I see around me are not living with this power of the Holy Spirit. Francis Chan. Yeah, I love Francis Chan. He talks about having in his congregation the world's strongest man. He can bench press over 1,000 pounds. His wife can bench press over 400 pounds. Can you imagine that? And he says, how crazy would it be if this huge and brawny, powered up couple had scrawny little weak kids? I mean, think about it. He can bench press 1,000 pounds. The wife can bench press 400 pounds. What if they all had these little tiny kids? It would be, well, you'd say, well, there's something missing here. There's a disconnect. We have God Almighty as our Heavenly Father. El Shaddai, Creator of the heavens and the earth. We have Jesus. And we're living these little scrawny lives. Let's stop that now. We'll talk more about this in the second half. This is Sam Hunter, 721 Live. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the second half of 721 Live. I'm Sam Hunter. We are talking about living with the power of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about how the New Testament, throughout the New Testament, God, Jesus, the writers, they promise, they are consumed with the idea of living with the power of the Holy Spirit. And I finished with that kind of funny thought that Francis Chan said. He has a man in his congregation that can bench press 1,000 pounds and a wife that can bench press 400 pounds. And what a disconnect. How ridiculous would it be if they had little weakling children? You just say, well, that either the parents are mixed up or something's not right here. I mean, it just wouldn't make any sense. Yet we have God Almighty. We have the same power living inside of us that raised Jesus from the dead. That's a fact. And we're not living that way. You read throughout the New Testament and you see it over and over, this power of the Holy Spirit. Let me just point this out to you. I'm just going to read a few passages from Acts chapter 1. Now, I know you know this, but Luke, who was a companion of Paul, wrote the Gospel of Luke, or I should say Luke's Gospel, because it's all the Gospel of Jesus Christ. He wrote that Gospel, and then he turned around later and wrote Acts. Now, what's interesting is when I went back and looked at Luke, I only see the Holy Spirit mentioned once or twice, and he's quoting Jesus. You get to Acts 1, and all of a sudden, that's all he talks about. Let me read you just a few passages. He begins in the very first verse. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that he's writing to a man named Theophilus. I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. Well, wait a minute. He didn't say that back in Luke. When he wrote his gospel, he didn't say anything about Jesus giving instructions through the Holy Spirit. But he keeps on. He says on verse 4, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Here we go again. Then in verse 8, Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. That's 3 times in the first 8 verses that Holy Spirit is mentioned. But he keeps going. Verse 15, in those days Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, brothers, the scriptures had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke about long ago. Good gracious. Now we got Peter talking about the Holy Spirit. Where did this come from? I mean, if you're reading along, if you were just to read, if you're Theophilus, and you read Luke, which was his first letter to you, wouldn't have been called Luke back then, of course. You get his first letter, and then you get this one. You go, whoa. You get him on the phone. You know, you text Luke back then in those days. You send up some smoke signals or whatever, and you go, wait a minute now. I didn't see anything about the Holy Spirit in this long letter you wrote me to start with. Now all you're talking about is the Holy Spirit. What gives? What's up? What's changed? And Luke would say, the Holy Spirit is what has changed. You see, we go to church, we get our bulletins, we sing a few hymns, we hear a talk, and then it's back to our busy and burdened lives. We're hurried and we're harried and we're distracted and we're discouraged. We keep repeating mistakes. We keep repeating sins. We have strongholds that we talked about last week, which we'll talk about again in just a moment. We're mastered by habits of the heart and of the mind and of the body. We're little scrawny kids when we've got God Almighty. We've got the power of the Holy Spirit inside. No more. Let's stop that. Today, I encourage you. I challenge you. I plead with you. I rebuke you. Whatever it takes to motivate you to start living with the power of the Holy Spirit. Call on this power inside of you. Let today be the first day of the rest of your A-plus life. Filled to the point of overflowing with power, energy, clarity, and creativity. I'm telling you, wherever you are in your journey, if you have grown from, like me, from an F to what looks like, compared to my F life before I was saved, which was a pretty darn good life, according to the culture, it was an A-plus life. But now I look back, I go, well, that was a failing grade. Well, you might say, Sam looks like he's grown to a B-plus, but I'm still a C-minus. Really, I'm still a D compared to where God can take me the more I'm going to use this term, harness the power of the Holy Spirit. Not for my sake, but because he's inside of me, the gift from Jesus, there's always so much more. And see, that's not a discouragement, that there's so much more, there's so much further to grow. That's a motivation, that's a joy. The riches of the kingdom await you if you'll just start tapping into this power of the Holy Spirit. So just keep reminding yourself, I've got a power inside of me. Now, you may say, okay, Sam, I got it. I'm following with you so far, but how do I start? How do I start? Well, you just ask God for the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, if you don't feel like you've ever had that shift, then as I told a man, three different men over the last 5 days, just sit down. If you're not sure, just sit down with Jesus and say, have I missed it? I don't want to miss it. Have I missed it? But if you do have the Holy Spirit and you're sure you're saved, then just ask God for this power. Listen to what Jesus says in Luke 11:9. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Just ask. Just seek. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you, though you are evil, you're human, so you're flawed, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven, listen to what he says next, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So just ask. Simply talk to Jesus about helping you. See, I cannot give you a formula, and I'm not going to give you a formula. Certainly there's no model prayer chant. This isn't a seance. But so often, as it is with our loving Heavenly Father, all we have to do is just want it, and then He does the heavy lifting. All you have to do is just want it. Don't buy that too quickly. Perhaps you should just start by asking for the power to just want to want it. Maybe you would just say, Father, help me, give me the power to want your Holy Spirit power. Just maybe you start there. Because you may not really want it. I mean, you may, if you're honest with yourself, you may go, you know, I'm not so sure I'm ready for that kind of commitment. I'm kind of comfortable in my C-minus life. I don't know that I'm ready for all this. But see, that's because you don't know what you're missing. You don't know the riches of the kingdom that await you. So maybe you just start by asking God to give you that power. It is a process, and it'll always be a process. But you might start that process by just asking for the power to want it, to really want it. There are two great Christian thinkers, C.S. Lewis and Oswald Chambers. They have a lot to say about this process, but I'm just pulling out a couple of quotes. Oswald Chambers, God is not working toward a particular finish. His purpose is the process itself. What people call preparation, God sees as the goal itself. You see, the question of whether or not we arrive at a particular goal, Oswald says, that's really not the most important thing. And reaching that goal becomes merely an episode along the way. What we see only is the process. God sees as the goal itself. What is your vision for God's purpose for you now? Whatever it may be, I got to tell you, His purpose is for you to depend on Him and on His power now. That's the process. God's not working, Oswald says, God is not working toward a particular finish. His purpose is the process itself. It is the process, not the outcome, that is glorifying to God. So, possibly you just say, God, Father, Jesus, will you just help me want to start this process? Now, C.S. Lewis says, very often what God first helps us towards is the virtue itself. It's not the virtue itself, but the power of always trying again. For however important any virtue may be, this process of trying again trains us in habits of the soul, which are more important still. God really just wants to see your heart, and He wants you to want it. Living with the power of the Holy Spirit is a process. It starts with you just wanting it, then asking for it, then believing in it, and then expecting it. Wanting and asking, and sometimes, and don't miss this, just asking to want it. And if you're like me, possibly you'll be like the dad in Mark 9. You know, the Jesus and John and James and Peter had been up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they come down, and there's a dad standing there, and he's got his son, and the disciples are standing around, and they tried to heal the son, and they can't. And he just looks at Jesus with this exasperated, panicky look, and he said, "Can you do anything?" And Jesus says, "Can I do anything? Can I do anything? Are you kidding me? Everything is possible for him who believes." And then the dad, as you know, I just love this guy. He says, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." Maybe you just start there. You say, "Father, I have a stronghold in my life, and it's doubt. I don't believe that you can help me with this, but I want to believe it. Help me with the part that won't believe it. I do believe that you can give me, that I can live with this power of the Holy Spirit, but I believe it, so leave it. So help me with the power to overcome my unbelief." And watch how He will do that. He will answer that prayer. You know, when we talked about these strongholds that we have, and we read in 2 Corinthians 10 that we have a divine power to demolish strongholds, right at the very beginning. And it says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Perhaps your first thoughts that you take captive are just, "I don't believe it, even though I want to believe it. I want to believe this. I've got a stronghold." Maybe you've got other strongholds that are holding you back. But just start asking for the power of this Holy Spirit. And then watch how this process starts to unfold. You know, in Romans 12:1, a very familiar passage, Paul writes, but God is speaking through Paul, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." And here's what you do. "Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Demolish those strongholds. And that might begin with just saying, "I want to believe. I want your power. I want to live with this. I want to please you. I want to live life to the max. I want life to the full, Jesus, like you promised. And I know I have not yet been able to achieve that through my own efforts." The Holy Spirit is there waiting to give you that power, to blow up your life with energy and clarity and creativity. You can have it. It's right there for the asking. You've already got the Holy Spirit inside of you. If you're saved, if you've surrendered your life, now let's start tapping into that power and get the life that is truly life. Wow. What a great God we serve. I'm Sam Hunter. This is 721 Live. So long. God's peace to you. I hope to see you next Friday.